From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. It's that time of year again. Global Fest this year, 2012. It happens in New York City. It happens, the second weekend of the first month of the year. I went there last night, and I'm here with Anastasia Tsilkas from NPR Music. She does classical coverage, but she's also well-versed in world music, very well-versed in world music. And glad to have you here for the first time joining our pals.
First time. So exciting.
Rob Weisberg here from Trans Pacific Sound Paradise on WFMU. Thanks for coming and banning air Afropop worldwide.
Thank
what
you.
A night back. Last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a marathon.
Before we start, I want to do this. I'm going to tear a piece of paper. Okay. I'm going to give you a piece, Anastasia. I'm going to give you a piece.
This is a little bit like Passover Seder.
This is it. It is. Well, and I want you to write down real quick your favorite, your takeaway, real quick, and then pass
only
it right
one?
Back to me. Only one. Just the absolute, you walked away, and the first patient, if you see someone in an elevator, you're going to say, oh, my God, I went to Global Fest, and I saw, you wouldn't believe them.
All right.
I want to see if we have anonymity. We do have anonymity, but if we have unity on this. All right. And Rob. Okay, Rob. Whoa. And it's, how would he say her whole name?
Oh, Maku.
I thought it just said Mary.
Okay. Sorry.
Because it was
this girly man.
That's another story. No, it isn't.
Sorry.
Okay. So the Maku was a nice big band. We have a Debo Band.
Ooh.
Debo.
Yeah.
You know what? They're close for me. Debo Band and Maku are close.
That was extraordinary. I don't think anything else there compared with that to me. I mean,
why don't you give us a little intro to this band, three out of four of us, and three and a half,
really.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to pick it up. I've seen Debo Band a few times.
We're going to start at the end, too, because they were the 12th band, and we'll do a little big picture of what Global Fest is in just a minute, but let's get to some music and give us a real brief intro.
Okay, the band is based out of Boston, but that's a bit misleading because it's led by Danny McConan, who is who went there to study Berklee College of Music, but he's Ethiopian, and he has a tremendous affection for this kind of lost music of Ethiopia's past, this funky music of the 70s when all kinds of traditions were coming together with sort of James Brown funk and big brass sections that they had as a legacy of their time when brass bands were sort of given the royalty times of colonial Ethiopia. And all of that came together in this amazing way to create this music that was sort of snuffed out in the mid-70s by a military coup and is known to people all over the world through a series of reissue albums called Ethiopique. But what's amazing about Debo Band is that they play that music without any sort of precious reverence or any of that. They play it like it is now.
Exactly.
Like it is music of right now, and they play it with incredible energy and passion and excellence, and it just totally rocks. It's amazing.
Let's play some. So if you got to imagine this band, they're what, like a 12-piece?
12-piece.
The sousaphone player is touching the piping on the ceiling of this tiniest of three stages that are going on at Global Fest. An accordion player who's seated and hardly moving, and I don't know how that's physically possible.
And the wild-eyed violinist and the two saxophone players like facing off each other like they were ready to duel. You know, there's just so much theater going on in that tiny little space and amazing energy.
Well, the thing about the accordion player, I mean, she barely had moved. It was like someone squeezed on a subway seat who couldn't open their newspaper the whole way.
Yes.
And we're going to hear a lot more from this band. People outside the sphere of Ethiopian music, world music. And they just signed to Sub Pop.
They don't even have a full album, right? Their first full album will come out.
Being produced by the bass player whose name escapes me from Gogo Bordello, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They work with a group called Fandika Dancers in Ethiopia, who they've both played with over there and brought over here. I saw them with them this summer, and they're amazing, and add this whole additional dimension with female vocals and dance. I mean, so there's even more than we saw at Global Fest. Demo Band is definitely
Ethiopia
like,
is amazing. Back.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, you had, Rob Weisberg, you had a half a vote there on this, another big band.
Well, because I had another band, but really kind of on the same theme, which is younger bands digging into some cultural roots, but in, yes, a not a reverent way. They're also very contemporary bands. There's, and I'm also very proud because this band is actually based in Queens, where I'm from.
I live there too. I'll be proud.
Who would have ever thought a band from Queens blowing me away at Global Fest? And I stuck around to see them, even though they're local, because I just love the Maku sound system. And they are a mixture of Colombians, kids whose families come from Colombia, and just other kids, somewhat similar in a way to the makeup of Debo Band. And they do a sort of a span of Afro-Colombian music. Colombia has this incredible rich, you know, coastal traditions, African, Indian. We all know the cumbia. They also have the African-style champeta. And also, you know, 70s soul funk.
And Santana.
And Santana, which these kids are, it's a very electric, psychedelic band. And there's a trend that's been going on for a few years now of bands working these angles in Colombia and in other places too, like in Argentina, where there's this Colombian dance scene. But there's also a lively Colombian emigre music scene in New York. Younger musicians, but have tended to be more jazz, more, you know, as you might say, sort of Berkeley-style trained musicians, or more traditional, really great stuff. But here's this incredible, electrifying, Afro-funky Colombian band here in New York. And they're still a little rough around the edges, but I find them just exhilarating. This is a fun song where they got into call and response with the audience. First political, and then just kind of fun.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ole, 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 ole.
This song is called Esclavo Moderno, Modern Slave.
Another great big band at Global Fest. We are fighting in three different rooms in a time schedule that overlaps 12 bands in the course of 6 hours. So you see, at least this is the way we probably all do it, and much of the audience you see going up and down the stairs at the Webster Hall and just packed.
There were scalpers outside.
Wow.
So what you do is you go see a show, and then you look at the schedule, and there's three overlapping things with big stage, middle stage, and then a big ballroom that's just absolutely beautiful.
It varies from year to year. The studio was, for me, really hot this year, and I spent less time in the ballroom.
The studio being the smallest of the spaces, and which is Which is where the Debo band ended. Yep. So everybody who was left and came to the tiniest system, room, yes. the biggest band on the smallest stage in the whole. Yeah, that's crazy. Let's do something really personal. In fact, it happened in that little space. It was a fellow named Wang Li. Can someone help me describe the most sacred of all sounds that I heard all evening?
It was very deep music making. It was very, he plays jazz harp and—
Or juice harp to some.
Or juice harp, exactly, however you want to term it. And another instrument called the sheng, which is sort of a Chinese mouth organ. And he does all this crazy circular breathing, but it's very atmospheric and very expansive, even though it's just him on stage.
I had three people come up to me and says, I know a dubstep artist I got to hook this guy up with. And so if you listen to it, you'll know why, because it's very electronic in its sound. And I had, in fact, tweeted that he's playing a juice harp through effects. Well, there were some effects, but I was really stand corrected because it implies lots of delay and lots of other stuff. What you hear now is basically the pure sound of this juice harp and his breathing technique and his mouth opening and closing being the resonating chamber through a little bit of reverb, maybe just a tiny bit to give it a little more space.
But and you're hearing overtones, actually.
Yeah.
Like similar to, tuban throat singing.
Play a little bit more, but anyone hearing that would think, I think in this day and age, would think that's an electronic musician, right?
Would,
no,
yes.
No question. The instrument you said is a
sheng.
Sheng. You want to quickly describe it?
It's like this very tiny mouth organ. So there's a sort of set of pipes that go across that he blows into. But it's somewhere between the size of a harmonica, except it sort of
kind
tilts
of
downwards.
Panpipes,
yeah. It's, but a little smaller than that, yeah.
Okay. So you get this audience of, there are probably 300 people packed in that little room, maybe. There's bars here, people are drinking, but everything just came to a... you don't hear anyone, right? You listen. Everyone's paying really rapt attention to this guy. Absolutely stunning. Wang Li, L-I, is his W-A-N-G-L-I. I want to hear more. See him again and again. Beautiful, beautiful. Anastasia, what do you have?
Well, speaking of the sheng, I was just thinking about another artist at Global Fest. I didn't think I was going to hear the sheng twice in one night, but I heard the sheng twice in one night because there was also a really great sheng player as part of the Silk Road Ensemble, who is this multi-member sort of shifting consortium, shall I say, of artists from across the world. And it's a group founded by the cellist Yu Ma, but they're sort of striking out on their own as a touring ensemble and as a recording ensemble. And so it's kind of balance of musicians from all over coming together to collaborate. So you've got Western classical musicians, you've got Chinese pipa and sheng, you've got Middle Eastern percussion, you've got all kinds of people coming together.
Did you say bagpipes?
I did not, and I should have. Yes, the Galician gaita player.
My gosh, when I walked in the room, that was the first thing I heard, and I went, oh my gosh. And I looked across the stage, the biggest stage, right? And there's just this big arc of musicians, as you describe, of all from everywhere. Yeah. Fabulous.
And this woman, Christina Pato, playing the Galician bagpipes, the gaita. And she's amazing, and she has this tendency to, like, over arch her back backwards, and she's got this flowing mane of black hair. So it's a very striking visual as well. And so they're great. They're great musicians playing together. The problem in their stage production maybe needs a little work.
Yeah, there was no momentum to this show. You'd have momentum in a song, and then it would come and be like a demonstration almost.
It was a series of episodes where different people came forward with different things.
Yeah,
nice.
And it sort of, but it expanded and compacted in a way that the energy didn't quite work.
Let's do something where the energy did work for folks.
Absolutely. So the core Western classical membership of Silk Road Ensemble is actually the quartet Brooklyn Rider, who are longtime NPR music favorites. They've done a Tiny Desk for us.
South by Southwest.
South by Southwest, exactly. So they're really off and running on this tune that we're about to hear. It's a Persian folk tune that a couple of the members of the ensemble arranged called Ascending Bird.
I'm going to stand up and applaud.
Woo!
That was amazing. I'd walked in right at the last 4 minutes of that piece, and wow, so exhilarating.
Yeah.
So the Silk Road Ensemble, that sounds terrible, a mutating bunch of musicians, that change a lot in this ensemble.
Yeah, as pieces demand and as they commission and as people are available, because it really is an all-star group.
Yeah. Fantastic. So it reminded me of the very first thing I saw when I walked in the space, which was a group called The Gloaming, which is a couple of great fiddlers. Well, great is just not the right word for someone like Martin Hayes, who I do Celtic music camps in the summer. And Martin comes to these and plays, and he just constantly blows me away with his talent. He's one of those musicians, when you think of musicians who are really stellar, who are at that point in their performance and their abilities where they are and their instruments are just one and the same. That exchange that goes on where you get to this level of playing music that is you just cannot describe. There are fiddlers, and then there's folks like Martin Hayes. There are other great musicians in this band, and I'm not going to go through every one of them, but one of the odd musicians in this lot of what would be basically a Celtic band is a fellow named Thomas Bartlett, people know as Doveman. And Doveman's known for, you know, working in the avant-garde scene and does his own records we've done on All Songs Considered. You can listen to some of his stuff. It's a darker sound, and so you get this piano sound that has a very dark tone to these reels and jigs. And on paper, this does not work at all. And at this show, it added an undertone to Irish music, to the lilt in Irish music. It didn't bring it down, but it gave it a really beautiful color, and it was counterpoint in his playing that I thought was just fantastic. So let's listen to a bit of The Gloaming, this new band. And these reels and jigs that they played, this uplifting Celtic music, was also offset too by music with a singer whose name I can't remember. Anastasia
Irla O'Leonard,
and
he actually appeared on one of our favorite albums of 2011 on an album by an Irish composer named Donacha Danahy, and he just blew me away on that album. And it was so nice to hear him in person for the first time.
A very unusual Irish band. You know, over and over, I think one of the things about Irish music in particular is that when you get these great musicians together, they play, you know, there's song forms, and so much of it sounds to people's ears the same. And I think what they're doing here is really challenging that, and I think that's great. Rob Weisberg, there was some Irish music in an Italian band. At least that's my ears heard some of that.
Huh. Maybe not officially, but...
right.
So I don't know if you would say this exactly about Irish music, which has a pretty strong sense of continuity, but there's also been a lot of traditional revival in European music. Younger generations who, for a while, when rock hit, kind of were not at all interested in folk music. Then in the 70s, there started to be some new wave of interest from younger musicians, and even more so now. The Canzoniere Gricanico Salentino, interesting case in point, they're kind of both 70s and now. It's the second generation of a band that started in the early 70s, almost a mission. There was the group is from Salento in southern Italy, and there was a writer who really wanted to bring out the tradition and get people into their tradition again. And she said, come on, let's make a band. And her, a relative of hers is the father of the current leader of the band. Mauro Durante is currently in the band. He's the violinist. Started this band in the 70s. And these bands don't come here very much. So it was very exciting that Canzoniere Gricanico Salentino came over. This is very different Italian music from what most Americans are used to. Somebody commented to me in the audience, they were listening, they were saying, I thought there was supposed to be an Italian band in here. It's not the mafia music. It's not the stuff from The Godfather. It's
Yeah. They also had a random, to my mind, kind of random surprise guest artist, who is this microtonal trumpeter.
Ah, yes.
Ibrahim Alouf, who's great, Lebanese-French guy. Yeah. And I was like, okay, we're here at Mediterranean Crossroads Land, you know? I mean, it felt very unusual and totally organic to me at the same time.
Yeah, well, actually, he's buddies with Mora from the band. The other key thing to think about with this music, it's the traditional rhythm from Salento, similar to Tarantella. It's what they call the pizzica taranta. It's the version of the spider dance from down there. And kind of almost a good percentage of the songs they do.
I'm sorry. I don't know the spider dance.
Okay. The driving rhythm of a lot of this band's music and other bands in southern Italy as well, related to the tarantella in Salento, they call it the pizzica taranta. It comes from an old tradition of if you're bitten by a spider, this dance is performed to try to cure you from the spider's bite.
And super hopping. Yeah, it's a
lot. It's very upbeat driving.
Yeah, the energy was amazing. I didn't expect that.
It's a lot of fun. The challenge is that because so much of the music, there are other rhythms and song styles, but a lot of it is this one particular rhythm. And so the challenge is to kind of mix it up. And they do it with a lot of different instruments, occasionally with guests. And I don't know, I think they do a pretty great job of it. I really love them. One of my favorite songs I think maybe we can listen to, one of my favorite pizzicas they do is called Domenica Mattina.
Bundle of energy at Global Fest 2012 this year. Yeah. I was thinking about, because I saw a lot of people in this audience I could have seen at the Jazz Fest that happened the last two nights. In fact, a lot of these bands could have been at that Jazz Fest, I think, right? And then I also wondered, what is the kind of music that will get beyond these world music festivals? And I'm not knocking them, but they are niche. But sometimes it crosses over. Manu Chao, someone who's crossed over, and actually we probably get to...
Yeah, we'll talk about him.
We'll talk about him with
Smod from Mali,
Smod,
yes.
In just a bit. But a quick big picture of the bands that were in this place and who's going to reach to younger audience. We talked about the Debo Band signing to Sub Pop. I mean, that's it.
I mean, it's sort of a tough call. I mean, there were some ironies to Global Fest and maybe world music in general. Here, on the one hand, there was certainly the most famous artist playing at the end of the show was a samba singer and TV star from Brazil, Diogo Nogueira.
And former soccer player, too.
And soccer player, yeah. too.
He's got the trifecta there.
Yeah, exactly.
And a handsome dude.
And while he's playing upstairs in the big ballroom and it's mostly empty, Debo Band is playing to a packed house and a lot more energy downstairs. And they're not stars at all. Most people would have never heard of them, but in sort of a crossover way, outside of just the milieu that their music is connected to, Debo Band, say, Ethiopia, Diogo, Brazil, they have kind of a chance there because they're signed to this rock label and they do music that is kind of caught in. There's a little bit of a trend now of young kids being into kind of edgy world pop sounds, certain types of things, whether it's North African, Ethiopian, Ethiopeaks was a huge hit. The label Sublime Frequencies has really kind of kickstarted this thing. So in that way, Debo Band may be able to reach both kind of traditional African music, world music fans, and also kind of rock kids who mm-hmm. normally aren't that interested.
But the other star, who's the woman?
Zaz,
the French singer. Also, in their home country, they sell lots of records. And coming here, I think your point is that coming here, they were not the stars of this festival.
I think it partly has to do with where the touchstones are. I mean, Zaz is like channeling like all these different styles of flamenco, gypsy jazz, kind of swing, which is huge there. It's like culture, it's roots there. For us, that's something that, you know, it has its following, but it's not going to really hit with the young
party
audience.
Music.
But I think that when you talk about Debo and also Maku Sound System, they're both channeling into things that are really kind of part of our bedrock, you know, funk, mm-hmm. the funky brass section, you know,
James
Santana
Brown coming
rock
back
thing,
whatever, and that's the Yemen blues too. They have
Yemen
that,
blues also has some touchstones.
Well, and that music is having. There is a big revival going on. A lot of young kids are into the 70s funk style.
That's right.
And we saw previously Afrobeat kind of led into that.
Sure.
With African music. So.
Sure. And we mentioned the Yemen blues, and we haven't played any. You want to take us to some?
Yeah. Well, this is a really interesting band that's based in Israel. Lead singer is a Yemeni Jewish guy who likes to channel, I'd say, Prince from more often than not. You know,
his style.
Yeah, between the falsetto and the hip wriggling, you know, clearly he owes a debt. Ton of fun to watch, but you know, their music to me references everything from like New Orleans second line bands to funk to traditional Middle Eastern sounds. I mean, just sort of running the huge whole gamut of stuff. And so it was a band co-funded by this Yemeni Jewish singer and a bassist and composer by the name of Omer Avital. They actually are really new. I think Ravi was saying from the stage that they've played something like only 60 gigs together. Hmm. I mean, they're new. And clearly, it struck kind of a big chord.
There's 11 of them, so it's hard for them. He was telling me it's hard for them to get around and make things happen with 11 people.
Man, I look at these guys, all of these bands. I mean, same thing with Debo. And I'm like, you can't put them in a van. You can't put them in a van and tell them to come back, go tour clubs, and come back in 6 months.
But Yemen Blues also, they have a very elaborated concept. All those songs, they had such cool arrangements where it's this sound, and then suddenly it's this other sound. I mean, there was a lot of this really high concept what they're doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so the song we picked out is based on a traditional Yemeni rhythm called Dasa, but it sort of morphs into this new, very fresh-sounding thing. الجبال الكبير طلعتني جبال كان الجبال الكبير من الجبال الكبير فوق الجبل الصغير قباله بالصرط مين اليمن فوق الجبل الصغير قباله بالصرط مين اليمن بدي قول لي سلام كان نملة من مصرت ولا شي وحدك
الحين أنت وحدة أنت وحدة فوق الجبل أنا صغير وبعدهم صرت مين أنا يا مال فوق الجبل أنا صغير وبعدهم صرت مين أنا يا مال بتقول لي سلام كان أنا ملامن ما فصرت ولا شيء
It's so much when I go to these festivals, and I say festivals because this was the weekend of the Jazz Fest, Winter Jazz Fest in New York, hearing so much music outside the realm of music that I see more often than not in the rock world. How many different colors there are, how many different ways of saying and conveying emotion, and it's so beautiful, and it just thrills me to know this is all out there, and I wish I could see more of it more often, and I'm glad we can share this. We're putting all 12 of the concerts from Global Fest online for you to hear. So if you missed it, there's beautiful photographs that'll take you and give you a sense of the space at Webster Hall. And also, the concerts they sound just fantastic. You know, they sound as good as they did in the rooms where it was. So that's Yemen Blues, who we're listening to now. What a fabulous, those bursts of horns and so forth. Just absolutely great. I guess one thing is we're going to go out on what may be the closest to a pop record of all the things I heard. I mean, those other folks we talked about, the Brazilian singer and Zaz, the French, yeah, they should get together. The French singer. That's pop in their world. But in our world, I think we will say that Smud.
Smud, yes.
Smud, help me again.
Smod.
It doesn't sound that great in English.
No, it doesn't.
It's the initials to the members of this band. They are the son of Amadou and Miriam of Mali and singer Sam. Is he the guy, the singer with the glasses?
Yes.
Up front? But pop music-wise, this sounds like this record's produced by Manu Chao, somebody our audience probably knows pretty well as a producer.
Sure. Well, there's the back history on this is that Amadou and Mariam were, when they started in the 80s, were known as the Blind Couple of Mali, which is kind of an odd tag name. And they had this sound. They weren't really traditional musicians. They'd met at a school for the blind, I think, and true love and collaborators from that moment. But their heroes were really sort of like soul and rock people. You know, they were from the beginning not traditionalists. They were people who were looking outside beyond Mali. So many of the great artists we know from Mali are based in tradition. Not so much with those guys. And so, you know, success comes, international records, and then they meet Manu Chao, and they create this record, I think it was about 5 years ago, called Dimanche à Bamako, Sunday in Bamako, Grammy-nominated, huge success. And in the course of that, Manu met their son, Sam, and I think he makes a brief appearance on that record, rapping. And so they came up with the idea of him producing their debut record, and it really has his stamp on it, which is now becoming so familiar.
Hey, describe that stamp so when people do hear
it. There's a kind of melodicism, quirky sounds, you know, light, strummy acoustic guitar. There's a vibe to it that you spot instantly. And I actually really liked seeing them last night without that element. It was very stripped down. The strength of the act is very much their vocal sound. And it's not that any of them is a brilliant singer, but they're just so together, and they have a great, and they have nice arrangements where it's one voice, and the mixture of rapping and singing, beautiful melodies, some of which are very sort of almost paying direct homage to Amadou and Mariam, the kinds of melodies, chord progressions that they use. So that was really the strength of it. And they were very energetic and fun to watch on stage. I do feel like the music could use some more more development, you know, not necessarily the Manu Chao development, but just, you know, it was pretty much just a strummed acoustic guitar, some electronic sounds, and then this great vocal. It was skeletal, I would say, but it really had energy, and it was fun to watch.
And skeletal, compared to almost everything else we saw, was rare that night.
That's true. It stood out for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks, everyone. This was great fun. Banning Air, Rob Weisberg, and Anastasia Tsoulkas, thank you all. Great music again. I can't wait till next year.
Yep.
And we should find some time to get together mid-year and just talk about what's come out.
Because
I think we need to do that. Yeah, this once a year thing is not doing it for me. We got to do two.
Sounds good.
All right.
Good fun.
Let's go out on
Smod.
Yay!
Hey, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.